So I actually have to speak a little bit more quietly. I know that in the past, tried to get the shiurim out as routinely as possible, in particular during the summer, when a lot of the shiurim, the yeshivos have abated or have recessed. So I've recorded on the road, in airports, in campuses. At this point, I'm in the hospital for a minor surgery. Nothing to get alarmed about, Baruch Hashem, Bezrat Hashem. But I wanted to make sure that I was able to get some of the Torah out for Parshas Pinchas. So I apologize if there are some beepings in the background and if it's a little bit of a muted voice. I don't want to make noise with some of the other patients. So Parshas Matos describes a very delicate part of religious experience and religious consciousness. And that's, of course, Nedarim. Nedarim are delicate because you're making large and whole-scale changes to the halachic system. It's delicate because it's verbal power, and we see in our time sometimes with people that are loose with their tongues, and they recite Nedarim or announce Nedarim casually without proper thought. And that's partially why Moshe delivers the mitzvahs of Nedarim. I apologize about the interruption. I was halted in the middle. So Nedarim are a very powerful tool, and power speech can be abused, and people can rattle off Nedarim and changing the shape of the halachic system. And that's why Moshe delivers it to the matos, to the leaders. You see the Ramban in the beginning of the parsha. I think I even discussed this Ramban in the previous year. Because it has to be delivered to people of discretion, of deliberation and calibration. It can't just be delivered directly to the entire nation because it's apt to be abused or configured improperly. And some of the ambivalence towards the world of Nedarim is captured by a very interesting Gemara. And I call this a medrash for the Parsha. There aren't as many midrashim in Parsha's Matos. And I'm still in Eretz Yisrael, so I'm recording for Matos, not Matos and Masei. But it's an interesting Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says, "Kol hanoder kilu bana bama." If a person takes a neder, it is equivalent to having erected a bama. So generally, bamos are not seen favorably. They're not seen as ideal setups for korbanos. And by associating bama with a neder, the Gemara is certainly critiquing the notion of a neder. And it's critiquing the notion of a neder by drawing an association to a bama, by creating equivalents. Well, what do a neder and a bama share in common? Why is a neder similar to a bama? And why are Chazal, like Marantinus, expressing their dissatisfaction or ambivalence towards neder by creating this comparison to a bama? So there are many, many issues, and I've spoken about them in much more extensive detail, but two that leap immediately to mind are as follows. The difference between a world of bamos and a world of Beis HaMikdash is not just a practical or quantitative difference, how many sites of worship are available. It's also the value you impute to each site. In a federalized system of one central location, that location possesses gravitas, solemnity, importance, environment, atmosphere, because that's the place. That's the site. That's the shrine. And people treat that experience and that location with reverence. Once you multiply, and once you duplicate, and once you dot the landscape with multiple options, various different alternatives, then you create inflation. Inflation just means too many. Anytime there's inflation, the byproduct is devaluation. More money there is in the market, the less money is worth. The more of a certain item is available, the less it's worth. It's basic supply and demand. And it's a question of the impact of a neder upon the halachic system, upon the integrity of halacha and the halachic system. If something is asur because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rendered it asur, then that's resonant with divine meaning and divine concern and divine prohibition, and it's toxic, it's noxious, it's off limits, it's verboten, it's forbidden. But once you start to stretch the world of Isser to incorporate multiple items and to stretch and to flex and to increase, you run the risk of devaluing halacha. And today in our modern environment, chumrah plays that role. Neder is structurally similar to a chumrah. Chumrah is an extension, an addition. It obviously possesses very serious and important value in Avodas Hashem. And that's why one of the earliest Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos is Asisiyag LaTorah, and that's why our Chazal constantly extol the importance and the value of Chumrah. But Chumrah runs the same risk as a Neder and the same risk as a Bama. The propitiation of multiple sites devalues the importance and the gravitas of any one particular site. And sometimes today, even if we adopt the Chumrah, and Chumrahs have to be adopted in the right time, in the right place, if we aren't careful to distinguish between Chumrahs and Halacha proper, and if we aren't careful to limit Chumrahs to need rather than just to fashion or showmanship or exhibitionism, then Halacha itself can start to become diluted or depleted of some of its value. So take, for example, I'll give a personal experience. Sometimes my children will ask me if the following behavior is mutter or asr on Shabbos. And unless it's really asr, I'll say, well, it's mutter. Even if I think it's inappropriate for Shabbos, then I'll say, but it's not Shabbos day. It's not appropriate for Shabbos. Just so they should learn the tools to discriminate between asr and between a minhag, a chumrah, in this case a neder. So I think that's the first crossover between a neder and a bama. And the second crossover is that entering the Beis HaMikdash proper is a process. It can't happen quicker than it can happen. It's staged. There are procedures involved, whether it's mikvah or freshwater mikvah, whether it's karbanos to enable entry for someone who's been barred for a week, a mitzvah or a zav, all sorts of procedures and ceremonies and rituals and qualifications, and it's a process. A neder, is a quick and accelerated run up the hill. There's no qualifications, there's no inhibitions, there's nothing impeding you from running up the bama. You walk in, and immediately you're upon the bama. And I think that neder shares those same qualities, that people who are looking for quick fixes or shortcuts in Avodas Hashem, because mitzvahs are hard and mitzvahs are challenging, and mitzvahs are a process, and growth in Avodas Hashem is a process. But a neder has that appeal and that allure of immediate religious punch or immediate religious kickback. You've created an Isser, and now you can adhere to that Isser. It doesn't have to be as difficult and as process-driven as some of the mitzvahs and averus in the Torah. You've taken a bench, and you've made an Isser upon yourself as a neder, and you have this immediate religious experience. And I think that a chumrah provides that same mirage, that same temptation. People sometimes adopt chumras looking to become from instantly, and all of a sudden, quick turnarounds and overnight transformations. And real from guide is a long process, hard work, relationships, kibbutz avim, parents and children, spouses, friends, real commitment to Torah and mitzvos, real failure, because no process will be without failure. And I think that some of the appeal of a bama, or of a neder, or of a chumrah, is this quick, immediate leap to religious success, which is, of course, illusory and in many cases inauthentic.